Hi, I'm Karen Hartglass, and you're listening to It's All About Food. Hey, Joe, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, great. Hi, Joe. Joe is the publisher of Veg News magazine, and originally he founded the Syracuse Area Vegetarian Education Society in 1996, and one thing led to another, and now you have this wonderful publication, Veg News, and we're going to talk a bit about that. But first, Joe Conley, I want to welcome you to It's All About Food.
Well, thank you for having me.
And what I usually do with my guests is first we talk about your beginning, how you became vegetarian, how you got on this path, because those stories are always really interesting.
Would you like me to go into it right away?
I do. That's what I want you to do.
Well, you know, a lot of people think of vegetarianism as a three-legged stool. There's the health, the environment, and then the ethical or animal issues.
Right.
And I actually can trace my vegetarian journey and vegan journey now to all three. And the first being before I was even born, my grandfather passed away of colon cancer about a year, well, 2 years before I came to be. And ever since I can remember, that loss of not having one grandparent was something that stuck with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I had great relationships with my other three grandparents until I was in my 30s and 40s. So it really was a hole, a void that was there. And I can actually say that I knew that his colon cancer was connected to meat eating. I don't know how I knew that, and I can't, you know, I can't give you any kind of evidence, but there was something that always knew that that he had died because of diet, of a diet-related disease.
Right. I love that you felt that that knowing.
Again, no explanation why that is. So that was the health aspect of it. And I've always been an environmentalist long before Al Gore. Even in the 60s, I would wrap my Christmas presents in old comics, which we called the funny papers back then.
Right.
And, you know, everybody always knew which presents were Joseph's because they were the ones wrapped in the old comics. And, you know, so I always had the environmental connection there. And in 20 years ago, I took an environmental science class and wrote a paper called The Diet and Environment Connection, which, of course, you know, 20 years later is now getting headlines all over the world.
Right.
So that part of it was there. And after I graduated from college, in between those two events, I a similar story to so many other people. I was on my own for the first time in my own place, and I wanted to have a dog because I had grown up with dogs. So, but I wasn't allowed to have dogs in my apartment because the landlord thought it was too small.
Mm-hmm.
So instead, I went and got a cat, and I actually named the cat Dog. and Dog, was the ethical concern that. Just like Eddie Lama, for those people who know who Eddie Lama is,
sure.
In the movie The Witness, you have this animal who you're caring for, and you're holding the animal, and the leg feels like a chicken leg. And, you know, then you look at your plate, and you have a chicken that night, and then the connection between, well, what's the difference between the animal that I'm petting and the animal that I'm eating, and obviously there is none. So I had all three legs of the stool come together for me, and 20 years ago, next year, I turned vegetarian.
Good for you. Wow, I didn't know that you had that similar story to Eddie Lama.
Actually, I predate Eddie, too. So.
Right,
I claim
the movie should have been about you.
He stole the story from me. He's much more charismatic than I am, I have to admit.
Yeah, well, then he went around and all over Manhattan with this van that he created, playing all kinds of videos about factory farms and animals that are raised for fur. Yeah, some pretty chilling stuff. But I don't want to talk about Eddie anymore. I want to talk about you.
Okay.
Okay, so this was about 20 years ago. And where were you living in Syracuse at the time?
I was actually living I went living in Schenectady, New York, right outside of Albany, the capital. And my partner at the time and I went veg together.
Mm-hmm.
And she and I then moved to Syracuse to pursue graduate school. Oddly enough, she was going for magazine journalism, and I've turned out to be a magazine publisher.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, I know Syracuse University a little bit. I had a friend that went there when I was back when I was going to college in the late 70s, and he wanted to get into the, I forget what
Newhouse
it was called,
school.
Environmental.
Oh, yep. The ESF, Environmental Science and Forestry.
Yeah, and he was really disappointed because he really was someone who loved the environment, and when he enrolled, it was all about making paper and really destroying rather than protecting. I don't know what it is today, but he found it not inspiring.
Well, I only took a few classes at ESF when I was there, but we moved to Syracuse, which turned out to be obviously a pretty important step for me because in right around this time of the year, actually, 15 years ago. Is that true? God.
Mm-hmm. Sunrise,
time flies, doesn't
sunset,
it, Karen?
Sunrise.
Neil Bernard of the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine came through Syracuse on one of his many book tours. And in the basement of a church, in the shadow of Syracuse University, in a Unitarian church, he gave a lecture on a cold winter December night, snow on the ground.
It's pretty cold there. I know that.
It was pretty cold, yeah. Probably still is right now as we speak. Thankfully, I'm in California. And the place was packed. It was here it is, a couple weeks before the holidays, cold. I think school was in, if it was still in session, it was finals time. And yet the room was packed with all these people wanting to know about diet and health. And at the end of the lecture, there was a Q&A, and an elderly gentleman, never found out who he was, unfortunately, raised his hand, and he said, well, Dr. Bernard, this is all fine and dandy, but when you leave town tomorrow, where do we turn? Who do we go to for support? Mm-hmm. And a little light bulb clicked in my head, and I said, Syracuse has a couple of decent animal organizations fighting for animals, but there's no vegetarian society.
Mm-hmm.
So I waited till the calendar turned to 96, and in January of 1996, so it was actually only 14 years ago, I formed SAVES, as you mentioned in the intro.
Right.
The Syracuse Vegetarian Society.
Yeah, I love the acronym SAVES, Syracuse Area Vegetarian Education Society.
Thank you.
Yeah, like that.
So with SAVES, we started publishing the SAVES paper, which was an organization with a publishing component, and we put out a quarterly newsletter. I think the first issue was 16 pages on newsprint, and did that for 4 years. Three and a half years in, well, actually, right away, Karen, you're obviously with EarthSave, and I think at the time Howard Lyman might have been the president of EarthSave.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And Howard was coming through. He was doing one of his many, many lecture tours. And he was going from Rochester, where there was a vegetarian society called RAVS, Rochester Area Vegetarian Society, and he was going down to Binghamton to speak for a group down there. And I think he was speaking like on a Saturday afternoon in Rochester, and he didn't need to be in Binghamton until Sunday. So I called up the organizers of both of these groups, and I basically said, "Can I steal Howard for a few hours?
Mm-hmm.
We'll have an event with him because you have to drive through Syracuse to go from one city to the other."
Mm-hmm.
And they both said yes, and that was very nice. And Howard came and did one of the first major big public things that SAVES did, and it was that event, I would have to say. So you have Neil Bernard's event from 10 months earlier, and then Howard Lyman's event on October 19th of 1996.
Mm.
And it made me realize that we need to unify this movement because this is the thing, this type of thing should be happening. Just like a band that I should add that I was in the music business for 15 years, and I was still in the music business at this time in the merchandising end of it.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yes, but this is the way bands do it. I mean, you just don't fly all over the country. You try to line up a tour and you try to hit cities that are in some kind of progression.
Mm-hmm.
So I had that experience because I was on tour with some bands at the time, and I just felt, well, why not borrow the same concept? And if Howard Lyman or Neil Bernard or John Robbins or whoever comes to town, let's try to hook up several different gigs in a row.
Right.
So the idea for Veg News really was planted then, right then, at the end of 96. And I talked to Gene Bauer, formerly Gene Bauston of Farm Sanctuary,
right,
about the concept. And we joked about doing it just for upstate New York. And we even had a few names we tossed around, none of which can be mentioned on a family radio show. And, it took me another couple of years, but And then the next big event was I met Colleen Holland in July of 1999 at the North American Vegetarian Society Summerfest.
Hmm.
And she was in San Francisco and I was in Syracuse, and I said, would you like to do this project with me? And she said yes, and she was actually originally going to move to Syracuse, which would have been a big mistake.
Right.
And I instead went to visit her and landed in San Francisco and have never left.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Oh, and it was definitely the right move.
Yeah, I like that story. A lot of people meet at the North American Vegetarian Society Summerfests.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
And you, I know you've been there.
I have. I love food. It's all about food. And
mm-hmm.
That's a great place for eating.
We should put in a plug for NAVS. They've been doing that, I think this was their 35th year, if I'm not mistaken,
wow.
in a row, since 35th conference in a row. And it's about 600-800 people on a beautiful college campus. It's usually held in western Pennsylvania. And if you're out there and have never gone and you love food and you want to try vegetarian food, you should do Summerfest. It's usually in July. And the food is just nonstop. You bring your loose-fitting pants when you come, because you will eat vegan food prepared
right.
by Ken Bergeron and a couple of other top-notch chefs. And you'll also, it's more than food, obviously. I know you love food, Karen, but it's also educational lectures and being outdoors. And it's kind of like grown-up summer camp for the family.
And it's vegetarian. Well,
and
it's vegan.
It's all vegan,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Okay, so now you've got this magazine, and it's really turned into, it's a beautiful publication, and it's a community.
Well, it is and it isn't. I'm not trying to. Well, let's back up a second. So
okay.
I meet Colleen, and we moved to San Francisco, and if you remember, and I know you do, because the very first ad that we ever sold was to EarthSave, actually. The Project Veg News was not a magazine when it first started. Some people might not know that or might have forgotten that. It was a tabloid newspaper. It was like a trade paper, really.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very similar to what I had been doing in Syracuse, except larger on a national scale. And from 2000 to 2004, we published as a tabloid newspaper. Never used the word magazine, never used the word lifestyle. It was just, trying to unify the vegetarian movement and be a community paper. We even had sections of the newspaper back then that talked about what the local vegetarian societies around the country were doing. And that was a great project, and I loved it, and it was successful, and I'm very, very, very proud of the roots of the project. But one problem was that you can't get a skinny bi-monthly tabloid newspaper on the newsstand.
Mm, right.
It's just an industry thing.
Mm-hmm.
And thankfully, we went away from newspaper because newspapers are a dying industry, as we all know.
Mm-hmm.
So in 2004, if you're following at home, the quiz at the end of the show will show you that everything happens on the presidential years with me. 96 is when I started Saves. 2000 is when Veg News was birthed. And then in 2004, after 4 years of a newspaper, we hired a local firm of vegetarian designers. They're really much more than designers. They're actually a branding agency. And they took that newspaper and converted it for us into the color glossy magazine that you now find at Borders and Barnes & Noble and
mm-hmm.
Whole Foods. And at that point, I have to admit, we did lose a little bit of that community feel and that at least the intangible portion of it. We're still
sure.
a magazine, totally by and for vegetarians, and produced, producing our content. Not that you have to be a vegetarian to write for us, but it just turns out that most of the people are.
Mm-hmm.
All of our recipes are vegan, always have been. But when we went to the newsstand and we converted into a color glossy lifestyle publication, it was no longer really a prudent thing to do to talk about what the vegetarian society in some town and place was doing, because it just didn't appeal as much to a national audience. And so
sure.
the project did change.
Mm-hmm.
But as you say, but we've had nothing but growth now for with Veg News for 10 years and with the entire project for 14.
Well, let's talk about some of the great things that are in Veg News. So one of the things that I've always enjoyed is you've highlighted many different vegan weddings.
Mm-hmm.
I personally like it because my brother and sister-in-law were featured in one of your years. And so, you know, it's a great thing because not just weddings, but everything that's in the magazine shows that vegans and vegetarians are regular, normal people. And we can do everything that everyone else does, have beautiful weddings, beautiful food, enjoy everything that life has to offer, but we just do it with compassion.
That's so elegantly put. Yes. the wedding issue, which is most popular every year, of course, came about in an odd way. I knew three of the original four couples. In the first year, we featured four couples, and I think I was even invited to a couple of the weddings. So I, again, light bulbs go off in my head. I don't know why. Thankfully, they're usually high wattage. And we had this confluence of these four weddings all happening roughly in the later half of 2000, and just kind of said, let's do a wedding feature, never expecting that it would be an annual thing. And we've done it every year since. And now, in fact, yesterday was the deadline for next year's wedding issue. Nowadays, you have to actually apply to be in the wedding feature.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole application process you have to go through, submitting your story and your pictures and who your caterer was and everything else and how many people attended. But, it just shows how things do grow and how much we are, us vegans and vegetarians, are just like everybody else. And there's competition to be in the wedding issue. And, of course, there's always the disappointment if you apply and don't get in, but not everybody can be in it. We limit it to 8 couples a year.
Right.
And we've had everything from backyard weddings where they served popcorn and wore tennis shoes to as high-end a wedding as you can possibly find, with people, renting out the top-notch halls and then honeymooning all over the world, so, and everything in between. And Karen is absolutely right that, we're like everybody else, which is one of the goals and projects and ideas behind Veg News. One of our taglines is more than recipes, and we do want to show everybody out there that just because we don't eat animal products or wear animal products doesn't mean that we are any different than you are. We still take vacations. We still read books. We still go to weddings and we still get married, and all those wonderful things.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing is different from us other than, just a modification, which is very easy to do, especially nowadays. A modification of certain dietary items and maybe some clothing items if you want to go that far, but it's a joyful life, and it's a very wonderful way to live and really not have to worry about is anybody suffering for me.
So I want to talk about two things. I hope I can remember them. One is the thing that I like to talk about on this show, it's all about food, is food. And I always want to stress that vegan food in particular is very varied, very delicious, and it kind of lifts the veil and opens your mind and heart and mouth to all the wonderful different foods that are out there. Because, a lot of people, they don't even realize it when they're relying on an animal-based diet, how in a rut they are with their food choices. And when you open the door, you've got this whole rainbow, all these different colors, wonderful different foods. And one of the things that you see in your wedding issue, and we can talk about the other issues as well, but in the wedding issues, you show the menus that people have during their wedding, and you can see the wide variety, the creativity, the wonderful foods that they have at these celebrations. And it's only the tip of the iceberg, because there are so many different wonderful meals, recipes. It's just infinite. Healthy, delicious, kind, gentle.
It is amazing. And not, God, I could say so much here. first is, yes, anything, and more so every day, anything that you can even imagine, you can have. whether you want to pretend it's meat and have some fake meat, or whether you want to issue that completely and just have the most wonderful bounty of colorful produce. It's all doable, and there are top-notch chefs coming out with books and opening restaurants and catering companies, what have you, that anybody who wants to pretend or believe that you're denying yourself or limiting yourself in any way is just not up to date. For instance, Tal Ronan, who's a kind of celebrity chef, who was on Oprah with the 21-day cleanse, and he catered Ellen's wedding. He just came out with a book called The Conscious Cook, which was number 3 in the New York Times bestseller list for 2 weeks in a row.
Woo.
And top 10 for several weeks, by the way. And this book is just just wonderful. You look through the book and talk about colors, Karen. You would just flip at the quality of the photography, and obviously his recipes, which a little bit out of my range, but I'm glad that every once in a while I get a meal that he actually prepared.
Well, there's a lot of vegan cookbooks out there, and you bring up a good point. There are some that are amazingly sophisticated, gourmet, a lot of ingredients, creative. But then there are plenty that are very simple and easy to prepare, and you can do it all. You have
it's
the
like
choice.
Everything else, right? Just like
exactly.
I haven't bought a non-vegetarian cookbook in many, many years.
Oh, gosh.
But I would think that there probably are some Julia Child type ones or James Beard type ones that I would maybe sit on my counter and they'd be nice to look at. And then I'm sure that there are simple cookbooks for the single person or the childless couple or what have you. And we keep coming back to the same pattern. And I hope the audience is getting this, is that we're just like you. We're anything that has happened in the non-vegetarian world certainly has an opportunity of happening in the veg world.
I get a lot of comments from listeners, and they're not all vegan that listen to this show, believe me. And so we can't stress enough that this is a diet of plenty. This is a diet of joy, variety, not about deprivation.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned joyful. I'm not somebody that watches the evening news very often. I like to focus my time and energy and reading on positive things, because there's so many positive things to focus on. And so, your magazine is full of lots of just positive, life-fulfilling subjects. So I think we'll take a break right now. Joe, stay with me. We'll be right back. Okay, we're back. This is Karen Hartglass, and this is All About Food. It's All About Food. And I'm here with Joe Connolly today. You're still there with me, Joe?
I'm still here.
Great. I just wanted to mention a few things. I have a new show on Sunday, 7 p.m., so if you're listening and you have some questions, Sunday night's the best time. We have a nice chat about food and recipes, and just wanted you to know about that. And
what's the name of that show?
It's called Ask a Vegan. And we've had two shows so far, and people have been calling in from lots of interesting places asking really great questions. And what's really encouraging is more and more people are talking about moving toward a plant-based diet. And, Joe, you've probably seen a lot of this in the news lately. There's lots of really encouraging things in the mainstream. Reports coming out, World Watch Magazine said 51% of human-induced greenhouse gas emissions are from animal agriculture. The Lancet, a very prestigious, reputable medical journal, came out last week with a big study talking about recommending reducing livestock production by 30%. And it's not enough for me, but it's happening. 20 years after we've been banging the pavement with this information, people are starting to get it.
Absolutely. And, you know, I obviously do follow the media quite a bit, and it's every year it's an exponential growth. And while exponential growth is not necessarily a good thing for things like population or CO2 in the atmosphere, for educational things, especially trying to educate people that eating lower on the food chain and more plant-based foods is a good thing, this is wonderful. Years ago, if you did a search on the web for vegan, you didn't get a whole lot of hits. Nowadays, you get more hits in a day than you got, you know, back then in a month or two. We actually have something, a little blurb in the news section of our next issue talking about this exact same thing, Karen, about all of the various different media mentions and positive mentions, by the way. Even the ones that are not so happy, like the front page New York Times article about the woman who ate the beef a couple months ago and you know, got very ill from it. They're positive in the respect that they're educating people.
Right.
And I feel sorry, obviously, for the woman. But you know, there's a book called Eating Animals out right now, which is climbing the bestseller list by novelist Jonathan Safran Foer. Getting a lot of publicity. Martha Stewart did a vegetarian Thanksgiving last week on her TV show.
And she's got vegetarian Thanksgiving recipes on her website.
Yes, she does. You've got, you know, we've talked already about Oprah and Ellen, and you know, Ellen has come out as a vegan, so to speak.
And she's come out several times.
Yeah, she's come out again. So, you know, there's just there was even a New York Times editorial right around Thanksgiving, which supposedly, you know, ticked a lot of people off, and they got some nasty letters to the editors about it, but it was about being vegan in a non-vegan world. I just finished reading a book yesterday called On a Dollar a Day. It's two school teachers, high school civics teachers, a couple in Southern California, about in San Diego, and it's their adventures in eating in America. They actually experimented with two diets. One was on eating literally a dollar per person a day, and they basically ate beans and rice and made their own food, and they chronicle their journey, and they have a website. You can check it out if you like. Then they went and they did another experiment, both of these for 1 month, by the way. This one was eating on what's the equivalent of the food stamp program, which is roughly $3 a day, and then maybe supplementing it with a little bit of your own cash. So I think they ate for about a month on $4.50 a day.
Wow.
And they used these two experiences to completely revamp their diet. They were already vegan going in, but they were not necessarily healthy vegans. They would eat, you know, junk food and all that stuff. But they saw how much waste was going on, and they saw how much, you know, unnecessary, you know, how much food is grown and thrown away, or waste. Or you can waste it by throwing it away, or you can waste it by eating too much. Either way,
it's not
good for the environment. It's not good for you. So they've now revamped their diet and written a book, and the book is coming out early next year. So look for it, On a Dollar a Day by Christopher Greenslate and Carrie Leonard. Now, you talked about food earlier. I want to mention that. And, you know, as I said earlier, everything happens in presidential years for me, for whatever reason. So in 2008, last year, we completely redid our website, vegnews.com, and you can check it out. This year, we won 4 major national magazine website awards, so our website is actually quite impressive.
Yes, it is.
And this holiday season, we did the first ever little e-booklet that you can purchase for just a measly $3 for holiday cookies. So anybody who likes to try holiday cookies, visit vegnews.com, and you know, you can download this book and make yourself. It's a cute little book too. It's like 7 by 7 inches, so it's, you know, a cute size. You can download that.
And
make up some holiday cookies for your friends.
Cookie recipes in it?
They're all cookie recipes. Yeah, all holiday cookie, you know, cookies, bars, that, you know, holiday sweets, yeah.
There's a tradition here in Manhattan. There's one guy who hosts the annual vegan cookie swap.
Oh, wow.
And lots of people come and bring all different kinds of vegan cookies, and then you bring some and you can take some home with you, so you try all these different ones.
Is it strictly a swap, or is it like a contest where they try to judge which is the favorite?
You know, there's no contest, and it's funny because I guess I'm very competitive, and I go and I bring these cookies, and I walk around saying, these are the best, these are the best.
Okay.
I kind of make my own little thing, but no, it's just bring them and enjoy them.
And who does this?
The guy's name is Mike. I'm not going to give his full name, but...
Where is it held?
It's in Manhattan. He has
Great.
It in his home. And
oh.
All the lucky vegans that are on his list get to go.
Well, I'm very jealous of that, but we do have, we have a little competition here out in San Francisco, and I'm a New Yorker, so I can be on both sides of the fence here. But we have a vegan, worldwide vegan bake sale.
Mm.
Now, we didn't start it here. It was started by another gentleman, and it was very popular. And I think they did the first one this past summer. But we've taken the concept, and this coming Saturday, we'll have our second local vegan bake sale. The first one raised money for a cat and dog shelter, and this one's raising money for a rabbit shelter.
Mm.
And we have, I don't know how many, there's 50 people baking every kind of imaginable sweet you can think of, and they set up outside of this restaurant that lets us use their sidewalk, and they sell out within a couple of hours, and
make
quite a bit of money. So, yeah, vegans do like their sweets, as I'm very guilty of having to admit.
Well, I wish I could be there because I love baking, and I would be happy to contribute, but I'm not going to be there this Saturday.
That's okay. Well, you've got your own swap that you have to prepare for.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, so one of the features that you have in the magazine are these awards.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, it's another opportunity to recognize all these different things that are going on in the vegan community and to show that, you know, we're everywhere and we do lots of things very well. But it's also great to give people recognition for what they're doing.
Absolutely. Getting back to the community nature of Veg News that we already spoke about, when the project first came to be, it became obvious that we need to honor and recognize what we're doing and what progress we're making. And that's not to say that these are the best. We don't use the word best. We use the word favorite, and it started out as a reader survey exclusively.
Mm-hmm.
And so, our readers can pick their favorite soy milk or their favorite restaurant or their favorite veg-friendly vacation destination. Never wanting to say one's better than the other, but it was just, just a public interest type thing,
mm-hmm.
and way of giving all of these wonderful individuals, companies, organizations the recognition that they deserve. The Veggie Awards issue is obviously also a very anticipated issue every year. It comes out in November, December, so it's the one that's on the newsstand right now. And it has grown much over the last 7 or 8 years. I think this is the 8th one we've done. And we now have both a reader survey component and an editor's pick, where we go out and kind of find the new things that might not yet be on the radar, so they're not going to win the reader
mm-hmm.
portion of the poll, so to necessarily. I mean, sometimes they do, but it's kind of our way of plugging and recognizing organizations, individuals, products that are just so amazingly good that they deserve some kind of recognition. This year, for instance, there's a new cheese coming out of Canada called Daya.
Yes.
D-A-I-Y-A.
I've had it.
And it's like the holy grail of veganism, I think, is the way it was described.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it stretches, it melts. You could put it on a pizza and nobody would know that it's a vegan cheese. It's not made with soy, so it doesn't have the same taste and flavor. It's actually made of tapioca and cassava root. Yeah,
right.
Which, like, who? Okay, mm-hmm. How in the world does somebody come up with this? Well, thankfully, The guys who invented it are mad scientists, and I say that with a smile, a twinkle in my eye, because they're great guys and I know them. But they've invented some really great things, and this was just a challenge for them. They put their scientific minds behind it, and they came up with a cheese that stretches and.
It's like being back in
New York and having a slice of pizza on the street, and you fold it in half and it's dripping with oil and cheese, and probably, you know, as long as you don't do it too often.
That's right.
Okay.
Well, we have some food shows up at earthsavetv.com, and in the one that's up there now, we interview Candle 79 in the beginning, and one of the dishes they put out during that show was a pasta dish that had that cheese on it, and so I got to try it. It was really yummy.
And speaking of Candle 79, we should mention that they were Restaurant of the Year in Veg News this year.
Yes,
not only for their food, which is as good as you'll find anywhere, but what really cemented it for us was that they also do so much in the community.
Yes.
They're out there educating, they're out there donating, they're
That's
out
right.
there catering events, you know, giving so much of themselves and of their time. And, you know, Candle 79, Bart and Joy, God bless them, they're just making this all, you know, as we've talked about in the early, before the commercial break, making this mainstream, really, bringing, you know, showing that you don't sacrifice anything. I mean, the people who go through Candle 79 are, you know, dignitaries, heads of state. I mean, just, you know, people.
Celebrities. They're celebrities, good with celebrities.
You know, it's a destination restaurant. It's a
yes.
place to be seen.
Gosh,
and you've got,
you know,
several
this...
of them in New York, which, you know, when we come to New York, it's just eat, eat, eat all the time.
This is by far the best place for vegans to eat, because there are more vegan restaurants here than anywhere, and they're phenomenal. It's really, really a joy. Joy, joy. But I want to bring up a word, access. A lot of people I talk to struggle with the discipline. You know, they get the horror that's going on in factory farming, and they really would like to eat more plant-based foods. And they know that there are foods out there that they like, but it's this kind of slipping back into old habits or going to their old hangs or being with other people that aren't ready to go vegetarian or don't know that much about it. And so it's this access. And certainly over the last few decades, there's more and more food products, prepared foods in supermarkets and restaurants that make it easier. But it's all about access. You know, the more we can get out there with products, the easier it's going to be. And so certainly, your magazine is one piece of that. We all can't do everything. Bart and Joy have these great restaurants. That adds to the access. And then this magazine, so that people can learn about all the products that are available.
You know, I can't tell you how often we get emails and letters and even phone calls from people who tell us that they love Veggie News. It's, you know, we love Veggie News. Everybody starts that. You know, thank you very much. Of course, we appreciate that. But then they go into, I even love the ads. People will tell you that they read the ads in our magazine, which, you know, you can't say that probably people don't read the ads in, I don't know, People or Time or Us Weekly or whatever. But our audience is so committed to not only the cause of being vegetarian or vegan and living that lifestyle, they're so committed also to supporting these companies.
Mm-hmm.
One of the proudest things of all, Veg News has had many, many, many successes, but one of the proudest things, I have to say, maybe even the most, is we've been able to give small, relatively small companies with very minor advertising budgets an opportunity to advertise their store, their product, their whatever, restaurant, in a national magazine that you can find in 50 states.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we've been able to keep our production costs reasonable and our advertising rates very reasonable, and you can flip through the magazine and you will see 100-plus ads each issue with some companies that never, ever would have that access. It's different type of access that you're talking about, Karen, but similar. They have access now to a worldwide community, nationwide, really continent-wide community of people who know, first of all, that if they pick up a copy of Veg News, it's going to have been vetted. We're not going to put ads in the magazine for products that are not vegan. So
yep.
they know there's already that trust.
Mm-hmm.
So now they can find out about this Day of Cheese as we're talking about, or they can find out about the new restaurant that's opening down in Los Angeles, and they can find out about the B&B that's up in New England someplace, or down in the Florida Keys. Who knew that there was a vegan B&B in Florida?
Mm-hmm.
But that has allowed us to give both sides of what you're talking about, not only giving the businesses and the business people the access to the actual people who are, you know, a customer base, but we've also then given the customers this ability to see, wow, you know, I remember when I turned vegetarian in the 70s, I had to buy powdered dried hamburger and make it when I got home. Now I can go out and get 8 or 10 different types of frozen hamburgers, vegetarian hamburgers at the grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have to be a natural food store. It can be Safeway
mm-hmm.
or Kroger's.
Mm-hmm.
Or even A&P. So
that's something to be happy about.
It is, and you know, you and I, Karen, have been in this long enough that we remember. I mean, I remember the first time that I tried non-dairy milk.
Mm-hmm.
You went to the old, you know, hippie type health food store long before Whole Foods.
Yeah.
And you bought powdered soy milk,
right.
And you brought it home, and you mixed it up, and you tasted it, and then you spit it out.
I remember my first tofu experience. I couldn't mash it small enough to make it disappear in this stew that I was making.
But nowadays, you know, we have. I have to admit, I am exceedingly spoiled in that, because of, you know, Veg News, we get products in literally every. In fact, one of our blogs is called This Just In, so you can follow all of the promotional items that we get sent. Our lovely Lindsay puts up this blog every day, 5 days a week, of what gets shipped to the office, and we try chocolates and tea and cosmetics, and you know, we get the books before they're released, and
mm-hmm.
it's just wonderful to be able to sample these things and promote them, really, you know, give our stamp of approval. And you know, unfortunately, we only have we come out 6 times a year, and we have about 10 products that we review in each issue, so it is a little competitive to get one of those 60 slots a year to promote your new product, but it is never ending continues to come out. I mean, as we've already talked about the vegan cheese this year, there's been an enormous amount of raw chocolates and truffles that are just over the top and have gotten much better than even just 3-4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, raw foods is something that's also burgeoning here. And it's all good. It's all good. And everybody who's, you know, even if you're not going to go full vegetarian, you can try these products and compare and contrast them to what you're normally eating and see that, you know, hey, I can do this. If I go vegetarian just half the time, look at all the greenhouse gases I'm saving, look at all the cholesterol I'm not eating, look at all the animals I'm saving.
So you're listening to It's All About Food, and I'm Karen Hartglass, and I'm talking to publisher Joe Conley, who has the magazine Veg News. And I'm curious, so first you have your website, vegnews.com,
mm-hmm.
right? Vegnews.com, very easy to remember. Do you have a feeling for the demographics of the people, the kinds of people that read Veg News?
Our demographic, which is largely a female audience, which makes sense since most...
Because we're smarter.
Well, because not only you're smarter and more beautiful, obviously, but in addition to that, you're also more likely to be vegetarian.
Mm-hmm.
And you're also more likely to be a magazine reader, especially a lifestyle magazine.
Oh,
so we have a roughly 37, 38-year-old female is our average reader. Of course, we've got many male readers. We have many younger readers, and we have many older readers.
Mm-hmm.
But for demographic purposes, you know, it's people's favorite magazine, almost exclusive. I mean, people tell us all the time that they can't wait for the next issue to come in. They want us to be monthly, and
mm-hmm.
They read it cover to cover. They read it before anything else. So we have such a very strong, committed audience and readership, and that's just a lovely thing.
Now, what about location-wise? I mean, is a lot of it, a lot of them in like California, Chicago, New York.
Certainly, the major cities are, you know, the coasts.
Yeah.
Certainly, are about a third of our readership is on each coast.
Mm-hmm.
And then about a third for the rest of the country and a little bit in Canada. Cities, obviously, where there are more, there's more vegetarian activity, we have just, which would make sense. There's the
sure.
population density. Wherever there's a higher population density, we have a higher readership. But, you know, we have profiled cities in all over the country. We do a city once every issue. We have one city profile.
Mm.
We even have profiled international cities on quite a few occasions. We have supported and promoted companies that are based in Wisconsin and based in, you know, Minnesota, and, you know, all we've done things on Las Vegas many times. So if you're out there listening and or picking up a copy of Veg News next time you're at the bookstore, don't think that where our demographic or our geography is exclusive to certain areas. It's not. And that's actually one thing that we've had to overcome. Thank you for bringing this up, Karen. People thought that we were a California-based publication because we happen to be based in California, but obviously you have to call it someplace home.
Sure.
And, no,
there are also a lot of food distributors and a lot of vegetarian activity in California.
Yeah, absolutely.
So makes sense.
It's funny. I had this conversation with a colleague a couple of weeks ago. More organizations are on the East Coast, and more food manufacturers are on the West Coast. And I don't know why that is. We haven't figured it out yet, but it just seems to be the way things have fallen right now.
Yeah, I discovered that when I used to have this annual food festival in Manhattan called the Taste of Health. I did it for 5 years, and it was a bit of a struggle to get the food exhibitors, because most of them were in California. But we had a lot of organizations that would show up, you know, nonprofits.
And why do you
things.
Think that was?
Yeah. You just told me. You said there's more food manufacturers in California and more organizations on the East Coast. Anyway.
Yeah, I know that the Taste of Health, there's one, an Earth Save Taste of Health that's been going on in Vancouver, if
right.
I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And that's, yeah, so, yeah. Well, you'll have to come out here and put it on.
Yeah, it's on my list.
Yeah,
it's a long
you can,
list.
You can do a live broadcast from your Taste of Health San Francisco version.
Right. So I just want to mention a few more things. We have a few more minutes. One is you had an issue once where you highlighted vegetarian musicians, and
yep.
Now I'm realizing you had this music pass, so maybe that there was some motivation there. but my brother was one who got a little mention in your magazine because he is a vegan musician. He also composed the intro and exit music for this show and my Sunday show, so I always like to mention that.
So your brother has been in our issue twice.
Yes, thank you.
Wow, he's a lucky guy.
He is a lucky guy because
he
has me as a sister.
What's that?
He's a lucky guy because he has me for a sister.
Oh, boy. An older sister, too,
yeah.
Right? So you can show him the ropes.
That's right.
Not much older, though.
Mm.
Now, you know, since this show is called It's All About Food,
mm-hmm.
I want to also make one more mention.
Okay.
Earlier this year, Veg News acquired a website called Veg Web. That's VEGWEB, just like it sounds.
Mm.
And Veg Web is the largest vegetarian recipe website in the world. It's been going for about 12, 13 years now.
Wow.
It's got thousands and thousands, I think 12,000 recipes, all tested, all submitted by readers, and you can rank them. You can go on there and download the recipes. And so check out vegweb.com if you're looking to expand your, you know, cookbook or your recipe book or just make dinner tonight.
Yeah, well, I love the internet, and you can get a recipe for anything vegan on the internet. It's all there, and VegWeb is probably one of the places where you can find them.
I actually was leafing through an old issue of the Saves paper, which we started off with an hour ago, and we used to publish recipes in there, and this was 96 or 97, and I used to credit where I got the recipes from, and I actually took one of the recipes from VegWeb, 12, 13 years ago, mm-hmm. without even realizing it, and then, of course, comes full circle. Here it is, 2009.
Okay.
And now it's part of the Veg News family.
So I like to end talking about some of your favorite foods.
Some of my favorite foods?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Oh, you're going to put me on. See, I can talk about things, but ask me my favorites, and that's difficult. Let me plug something else here.
Okay.
I've gone from standard American diet to vegetarian short time. I kind of went vegan much quicker than most people. And I've tried, I've experimented with raw foods, diets, and what have you. I certainly think that we should be eating as much raw food as we can.
Absolutely.
But I recently read Alicia Silverstone's book called mm-hmm. The Kind Diet. And Alicia has a very similar history to the one I just explained for myself, as most people do. And she experimented with raw foods for a while and then kind of came back around and has settled on something quite similar to a macrobiotic diet, which is based on grains.
Mm-hmm.
And then John McDougall, a prominent physician and internist, MD, up here in Northern California, has very similar recommendations. So my favorite meal, I guess, it would be a big giant plate of some kind of cooked grain, brown rice or basmati rice or even quinoa,
mm-hmm.
and then I would add a freshly sautéed green like kale or chard, and then maybe 50% grain, 25% greens, and then a 25% protein. A protein could be in the form of tofu, unless it was going to be for you, Karen, in which I add like tempeh or something nicer than tofu.
Tofu. It was just the first time back in 1970-something.
You can even, and your protein source can even just be, a handful of cashews or almonds. It mm-hmm. doesn't have to be a grain meat, but mm-hmm. or soy-based meat product. But so I would say that I'm like a simple one-pot type guy when I'm at home. I like to throw everything together and eat it that way, unlike Mom, if you're listening, and I know you raised me with meat, potatoes, and a vegetable, but that was then. Now, if I go out to a restaurant, though, I'll go to any of the restaurants that we've mentioned in this interview and many more. I mean, Candle 79 is a must every time I come to New York City. Pure Food and Wine, which is a high-end raw restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Out here in San Francisco, we have what I can still consider probably the best restaurant, simply because of longevity, if nothing else, Millennium Restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
If you've never been, you have to come to San Francisco for Millennium.
Yeah, we did a nice piece
in Los Angeles, where I am many times a year. You have Real Food Daily.
Native food. One of my favorites. I love their cookbook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and I love to experiment when I go out. I love to eat simple when I'm home, but I love to experiment when I go out and try any of the things that any of these vegan restaurants will serve.
Well, Joe, thank you so much. We've come to the end of the hour, and as usual, I'm always starving after this show, after talking about food. Thanks so much for joining me, Joe Connolly, publisher of Veg News Magazine.
And thank you for having me, Karen.
Thank you.
It's wonderful, and I hope to do it again with you someday.
Okay,
soon.
Great. So this has been It's All About Food. I'm Karen Hartglass. Thanks so much.